Good morning, church. It's great to see you today.
Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at Azalea City. If you get bored during the sermon, I can give you some cookies, apparently. I don't know why those are up here, but tempters, that's what y'all are. Hey, it's great to be with you. I hope that you've had a great week last week, but I know your week is going to start out great today, this week, because you have decided to be a part of our worship service here at Azalea City. I want to start a new series of lessons this morning, and they're simply going to be entitled, We Either Believe Him or We Don't. I kind of mentioned this to our elders and let them know that this was coming, and so Joseph asked me, hey, what you going to be preaching on? Talked about Wednesday night, an introduction to promises, the promises of God, and he graciously led a song that I asked him to lead, and it's number 452 in your books. I'm not going to lead it again, but I want to share these words with you. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages, let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living Word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally, by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening to every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. You see, that's what it's all about, church. Today, if I tell you I promise, I'm going to do my best to not let you down. But by life's experience, and by life in general, there may be times that I fail you. There may be times that I say, hey, I promise, I'll do my best, I'll be there, I'll do this, I'll do that, and then there's something maybe in my own family comes up, or something happens, maybe even in my own health, or what have you, and I've got to break that promise. I would never want to do that. But as humans, sometimes that happens, right? But not with God. Max Lucado wrote a children's book. But it's a pretty powerful book for adults as well. It's entitled, God Always Keeps His Promises. And I want to share with you the very beginning, in the introduction, just a few of his words. People make promises. And for the most part, people intend to keep their promises. But we are not on this earth for long before we learn that not everyone can. Not everyone does. Promises get broken. And consequently, hearts get broken. We tend to grow cynical, distrustful, and jaded. We wonder, does anyone keep their word? God does. The Bible contains well over 7,000 promises. God is a promise maker, and God is a promise keeper. If He says it, we can believe it. So it brings up the question this morning as we enter into a series of lessons. There are over 7,000 promises of God from Genesis to Revelation. Over 7,000. Somebody sat down and counted every one of those. A lot of those, if not the majority of those, right, have already come to fulfillment. We have already seen that promise be kept. There's a couple in the future that we're looking forward to, right? But the question today is this, or the statement is, we either believe Him at His Word or we don't. Now, I could sit here and tell you that it is impossible, not because I said it, because the Word of God says it, it is impossible for God to lie. You can either believe that or not. I can tell you that Jesus Christ said about His Father, with God, all things are possible. You can either believe that or not. I can tell you today that the Apostle Paul from a prison cell said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can either believe that or not. Now, I would guess that every one of us in here, because it's written in the Word of God, we'd say, oh, Terry, I believe it. And you'd be rightfully so to do. That would be the right thing for you to do. Because it is in the Word of God, and the Word of God is living, it is alive, it is not a dead book, it's not an outdated book, it is God's precious, divine Word. And if it is written in there, it is truth. And all those things that I just mentioned are written in there. And you would be right to believe that those things are true. However, sometimes our actions do not prove that we really believe it. This sermon series is meant to stir us. I've prayed a lot about it. I've thought a lot about it. And folks, sometimes I certainly need stirring myself. I will never preach to you something that I do not need to hear. I will not preach to you something that I have not applied to my life or will apply to my life. At least do my best to. But when it's all said and done, let's suppose today that if not all of us, the majority of us, I would say all of us, we believe Him. We believe that it's impossible for Him to lie, that with Him all things are possible, and with Jesus and through God, all things can be accomplished because He strengthens us. The question then is, what should we do about it? Well, series number one lesson is this. If you do believe Him. And I believe with all my heart that even though we will not have this same crowd back on Wednesday night to build our faith, to strengthen our faith, and we have a bigger crowd now than we had this morning in Bible class, and I'm just being real about it, I still believe you believe it. Everybody in here. But what should we do about it? Number one of series, we got to launch out into the deep. You can go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Luke 5. That will be our entire text for today. But as you're turning there, Wednesday night, through the direction of Jeff May, Cody Poe became our adult Bible class teacher. Now, Cody and Hallie and their babies have sickness going on, and so they're not able to be here today. But Cody challenged us in that group that night. I don't know, there may have been 50 or 60 of us in there, so it wasn't the entire congregation. But he challenged us to come forward and sign our names, and let's pray for 24 straight hours. My time slot was 10 to 11. I got a reminder from Cody. He said, hey, I think he was going to catch a little sleep, so he wanted me to, David followed me. That was pretty neat to me. I was able to go, and then an elder was following me right up, cleaning up anything that I may have messed up. But the next morning, Cody got up, and I don't know how he encouraged and reminded all that. He might have stayed up all night for all I know. But the next morning, he got up, and he said, we did it. We did it. We as a congregation prayed for all of us in all things and many things for 24 straight hours. Cody is my prayer partner. He also in that class challenged us to use the people at the table. There were three of us at the table, so I didn't have anyone per se, so I chose Cody. He didn't have anyone. He was the teacher. I was sitting up front. That's what you get when you sit up front. Friday, we got together and we spent one more hour on the phone with each other, getting to know each other, laying our hearts down at each other's feet, and praying together. You see, folks, why may be the question. Why would we sit there and stay up? And some of you sweet souls had the 11 to early morning hours. And I appreciate that. But why would we do that? Why would 24 of us get together and pray for one whole 24-hour period consecutively? Why would Cody and I spend an hour extra after we just prayed an hour together, another hour doing that together? Why? Because God keeps His promises. That's what it's all about. I am standing here today because God is faithful. And He cares for me and He cares for you. There's a stirring happening at Azalea City. And we're doing it based on God keeping His promises. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. So it was, as the multitude pressed about Him to hear the Word of God, that He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And He saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and He asked him to put out a little from the land. And He sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When He stopped speaking, He said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to Him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at Your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, surprise, surprise, right? They caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. That's a lot of fish. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to him, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed Him. What a story. The last time I spoke on this story, and I, for the life of me, I couldn't remember if it was the last time we were gathered here or one of the times that Justin and I were up here speaking. The last time I did this, we were in the middle of a pandemic. And my plea to you is the last time we also prayed for 24 straight hours. So my plea to you was, let's pray for 24 straight hours and let's launch into the deep. Well, here we are. We're not in the middle of a pandemic anymore. But folks, we are in the middle of a war. I know there's physical wars going on, but there's a spiritual war happening with all of us. You see, for we do not wrestle with flesh and blood. We wrestle against powers and principalities and the darkness of this age. Satan is out there and he is a roaring lion seeking whom he may not lick to death, devour. But God is faithful. It is impossible for him to lie. With him all things are possible. And through His Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us strength, we can do all things. This story proves what it means to me to stand on the promises, in this case, of Jesus Christ, but for our sermon series of God. The question is, do I believe this story or do I not? There are 11 verses. We got 11 points. You might want those cookies now, right? Verse 1, you know what we got to do if we're going to believe Him and launch out into the deep? We've got to crave the Word of God. You might miss that point as we're reading through it because we see it as Jesus getting up there and He's teaching and everything else. But look at what happened in verse 1. So it was as the multitude pressed about Him to hear what? The Word of God. That's what it was all about. Jesus was teaching the Word of God, and what He was teaching brought hope. It brought hope. The same thing we're teaching today brings hope. Hope that this is not the end. This life, this world is just fleeting. Our bodies are temporal. There are eternal things that we must focus on. And in order to fully comprehend and believe that God keeps His promises and to act on those, I've got to launch into the deep. And the first thing I've got to do is crave the Word of God. Since last June, I've lost over 50 pounds. Now, you may not think that, but I have. But you know what I had to stop doing? Craving sugar. Man, sugar is really good. It is really, really good. Carbohydrates are really, really good. But it wasn't good for me. There are a lot of things in this world that are good. At least they make us feel good. There are a lot of things in this world that I can fill up on and gain all kinds of knowledge with and gain all kinds of hard times with too. But today we've got to go on a diet. We've got to go on a spiritual diet. We've got to cut out the junk and we must crave the Word of God. Now, what does it mean to crave? It means that you cannot live without it. You and I must be students of the Word. We have been challenged all year long by our eldership here at the Azalea City Church of Christ that we are in subject to be in the Word. Let it be a light to our feet and a lamp to our path. Lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Let it be that for us, right? Let it be what illuminates us. What, by the way, that's a promise. They crave the Word of God. Do you crave the Word of God today? If you do not crave, if I do not crave the Word of God, I'm going to stay in shallow water. I'll never launch into the deep. Verse 2. They were defeated. Jesus approached a people. And they were defeated. Look at it. He saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. You know why they were washing their nets? Because they had quit fishing because they did not catch any fish. Washing their nets means the day was over, they were finished, we were defeated. We didn't make any money today because we didn't catch any fish today. Can you imagine how that felt? I would guess some of us walked in here defeated. You know, I think about Rick Whittle. guy I've known a long time. You know, I've got problems, folks. But they didn't just find stage 4 pancreatic cancer in my pancreas and then it being spread to my liver problems. I don't have those problems. But nonetheless, sometimes we feel defeated, don't we? Sometimes we've just clocked it up to, hey, I don't have anything more to do. I can't do anything different. I'm just going to chalk it up to today's been a bad day. You see, that kind of mentality, if I walk around in it, I'm not saying we're not all going to have moments of defeat. But when I walk around in defeated, being defeated every single day of my life, then I will never launch into the deep. And as long as Simon, who's Peter, and James and John and those other fishermen are there, and they have this defeated mentality, they would have never been able to launch into the deep. But it takes the promise of Jesus Christ. Verse 3. It's real critical. If today you're going to go from a shallow faith to launching into the deep, if you're going to go from, I mainly believe God's promises, but I'm not, you know, really sure, to I'm standing on the promises of God, then we must let Jesus get in our lives. In verse 3, it simply reads, then he, Jesus, got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. Do you think that was an accident? What was he doing? It was on purpose, right? Jesus on purpose got in who we know as Peter's boat. We know Peter. We know what he ends up doing. We know that he is the one who stood up and preached the first gospel sermon and 3,000 people responded to that invitation. But this same Peter, Jesus knew, would struggle. So he chose his boat. He got in his boat and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he, Jesus, sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. So Peter allows him into his boat. If you and I are ever going to launch into the deep, if we're ever going to have an opportunity to stand on the promises of God, today, this very day, we've been given opportunity. Is Jesus in charge of your life? Is he involved in your life? And let me say this. I'm not just saying that occasionally Jesus is involved in your life. Is he Lord of your life? Peter may have been steering that boat. Simon may have been steering that boat that day, but Jesus was in charge of it. You see, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And today, that same Jesus Christ made it possible, purposely, for you and I to have a relationship with Him and God through Jesus Christ. Are you going to let Him in? Remember, He stands at the door and knocks. There are people today that come to your house, you don't let in. Trust me, I get it. Now we got cameras and we can see them coming and doorbell cameras and we can talk through them to the door if we really don't want to talk to them or whatever, but we don't want to deal with them, we just won't. We try to tell the kids to be quiet, dogs hush, everything else, right? We don't want some people in our house, but we better want Jesus. You got to let Him in. What's preventing Him from getting in? I love the Ethiopian eunuch so much. I love that story so much. I imagine Philip is just a teaching about Jesus. You know, that's what he's doing. He began at what we know as Isaiah 53, and he taught Jesus. And he is teaching, and he's teaching, and he's teaching. And somewhere along the way, he teaches about baptism. And he teaches about, hey, this is how you're going to contact that life-saving blood of Jesus Christ. And maybe Philip's just going on and on and on, and he says, hey, wait a minute. There's some water right there. What's stopping me right now? He said, you believe, you may. So they got out of the chair, and he went and baptized him right there. He didn't let anything hold him back. Today, what's holding you back? What is holding us back from launching into the deep? Maybe we're not letting Him on our boat. Maybe we're not letting Him in our lives. Verse 4. There it is. There's the promise. He says it. Hey, this let me just read it exactly the way Jesus says it. When he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now, I need you to hear this. He knows what they have done, and we're going to get into that in a moment. They fished all night in the shallow waters. And listen, we've got guys here that know how to fish. There's no doubt about it. And man, I am so thankful because if it all dries up, we can eat some good fish at some of y'all's house, right? But they know what lure, they know what depth, they know all these things, temperatures of water, and man, it's amazing to me what goes into understanding how to catch a fish. They call it fishing because it's hard. If it wasn't, they'd call it what? Catching, right? These fishermen knew. You think Peter, Simon, James, John, Andrew, you think they didn't know this time of the year where to catch the fish? But Jesus is not the norm. Jesus is outside what we know. He's outside what we expect. He's outside the normal because He is God in the flesh. He tells them, get out of these shallow waters. He knew they were defeated. He knew they were washing their nets. He said, launch into the deep. Now that was a command, but here's what he said. He said it based on a promise. For a catch. He didn't say to fish some more. He said, you're going to have a catch. Today, if you feel something tugging on your heartstrings, there's a stirring happening among us. I'm confident of that. We're about to really do great things at Azalea City. And maybe you are part of those great things, but you got the war going on, Satan tugging this way, Jesus tugging this way, but I want you to know, if you step out into the deep today, you will make a catch. So it brings up the point, verse 5. We either believe Him or we don't. You know what? I don't believe Peter believed him. There's a word there, nevertheless. Look at it, verse 5. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, your word, I'll let down the net. Does that sound like he really believed him? No. Jesus had said, launch into the deep, and you will make a catch. Peter, I know fishing. I am the man. Maybe that's his mentality. I don't know. He's also probably feeling a little sorry for himself. He's also probably tired. He's fished all night. How many times they drop that net and bring it up? Nothing. Drop that net and bring it up? Nothing. They didn't have Garmin's and all that stuff, folks, right? They just dropped that net and they trolled it and they brought it up and there was nothing. Time and time again, all night long. So they were defeated cleaning their nets. And now this guy, Jesus Christ, says, launch into the deep. No, we don't catch fish this time of year in the deep. Sir, he called him master. You know, we fished all night. He's implying we know what we're doing. Nevertheless, isn't that what that word is? Nevertheless, it's not really just this up, hey, I got a lot of confidence word. Nevertheless, I'll do what you say. My opinion, Peter didn't believe him, especially because of his actions in a moment. But I think we sometimes have a nevertheless kind of mentality when it comes to God. You see, I said at the beginning of this, I believe all of us here would say, I believe God. I believe His promises. They're true. They're going to come true. Heaven's real. All this stuff is coming. But how many of us will be back on Wednesday night? How many of us will go home and study our Bibles? How many of us will go home and find our war room and go to war with a prayer? How many of us dug deep into our purpose giving this morning? Do we believe Him? Or is it nevertheless? Verse 6. Of course, their net was breaking. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Jesus Christ has never done anything by accident. He knew exactly what He was doing that day. He knew exactly that Simon, who we know as Peter, was doubting. He was defeated. He knew also the potential in him. It's the same man who chose the Apostle Paul, who was Saul at the time, who went everywhere persecuting and even approving of Christians being put to death. Think about that now. Jesus handpicked him. He told Ananias, he's a chosen vessel of mine. I choose him. Because he can see, God can see, we can't see. Sometimes we can't see the forest before the trees, right? Because of the tree. We can't see out that horizon. Peter couldn't see fish in the deep either. But Jesus could. The promise not only came true, but it was so much of a catch, it broke their nets. You know, there's a poem or something that talks about, I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup runs over. Today, if you'll launch into the deep, you will always be drinking from the saucer. There's so many things God's going to do for you. There's so many things He's waiting on to do for you. He's waiting to fill your net up so much that it will be overflowing and breaking. But we've got to get away from that nevertheless mentality. We've got to get away from that, oh, I really don't believe Him mentality. I say I believe Him, but if I'm totally honest with myself, I do not believe Him. That's why I haven't given but a few dollars all year long. Somebody else will do it. Well, that mentality gets you $30,000 in debt, in deficit. See, it's not just about giving, it's about everything. What are we going to do? Are we going to sit there and have a shallow faith, or are we going to launch into the deep? Verse 7. The catch was so much, they needed help. And the reason I put that in there is because when the great things start happening in your life, others will take notice. That's how the beauty of the gospel is. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were put in prison for teaching the truth of Jesus Christ. Before they were put in prison, they were beaten with rods. Think about that. All because they were guilty of launching into the deep and teaching in the name of Jesus Christ. They were beaten with rods. They were locked in an inner prison, really maximum security, and they had a jailer glued to them so they could not get out. But instead of feeling sorry for themselves because they had a I believe in the promises of God mentality, I stand on the promises of God mentality, they believed Him. They were singing songs of praise and praying prayers. They were praying for a stirring. And you know what happened? A stirring. God sent an earthquake, a literal earthquake, and it rattled so much the ground beneath them that it rattled those shackles loose. It rattled those chains loose. It rattled those bars loose. The jailer was so panicked that he drew his sword and he was going to kill himself. Paul said, uh-uh, we are all here. You know what happened with the jailer, right? You know what happened with his family, right? They, around midnight, they went and he baptized all of them, Paul did. Why? Because he wanted what Paul and Silas had. Think about it from his perspective. He watched those men get beaten. He's watched those men get put in this inner prison. And he knew that they were not supposed to ever get out. But he heard them sing those songs. Praise to God. He heard them praying those prayers. And then when they had the opportunity, because their God answered prayer, and he literally shook the place, they didn't leave. He was convinced. Peter's boat's filling up. Andrew, Peter's boat's filling up so much that the others are convinced. You see, today there are promises that are waiting on you and waiting on me. And when we stand on those promises, others are going to take notice. Verse 8. Simon Peter says to Jesus there, "Depart from me. I'm a sinful man." I put here again, we either believe him or we don't. You see, this is proof that Peter didn't believe him. Because now he does believe him. Seeing is believing, right? Seeing is believing. I mean, how many times can we go through the Bible? Jairus, his daughter, Jesus gets to her and she's dead and the people are crying and they're wailing. Jesus sends them out. He says, hey, she's not dead. She's asleep. They ridicule him. He sends him out of there. He says a few words to her and she gets up. Get her some food. She's hungry. Lazarus, the same way. We sang about Lazarus, if that isn't love this morning. Lazarus isn't asleep. He isn't dead. He's asleep. What do you mean, Jesus? He stinks. He's rotting. Lazarus, come forth. Seeing is believing. They saw the promise of Jesus come true. And now Peter realizes that he doesn't doubt anymore. He believes. Verse 9. One of my favorites here. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. There are so many things that run through my mind, and this is really just an introduction lesson of a lot of things that I want to talk to you about. But there are so many promises. Malachi said we can't outgive him. I mean, you look at so many times in the Bible where God made a promise and it came true every single time. There's a land flowing with milk and honey. They didn't believe him. They didn't believe him. But it really was. Hey, I'm going to give you every city that you cross there. The original ones didn't believe him under Moses. Now Joshua, they did believe. God kept every one of his promises. Every word he said in Joshua 21 came true. But I will never cease being astonished. Not because I doubt, but because I stand in awe. Today, if you will surrender it all, and you'll stand on the promises of God, and you will believe him, you will always stand astonished. Verse 10. Maybe. So were James and John. Again, you're standing there, Andrew and Simon, who I assume was there in verse 9, they were astonished. They were standing astonished. But so were Peter and John. James and John. So what happens, not only did Jesus reach, he'd already got Andrew, right? Andrew's who sent for Peter. He'd already gotten Andrew, now he's got Peter, now he's got James and John, the sons of thunder. Why? Because they believe in the promises of God. And it brings us to our last verse of the day. You know what they did because they believed him? They forsook all and followed him. We either believe him or we don't. Simple as that. Oh, Terry, you're wrong. I do believe him. Well, do you really? Have you surrendered your life? Are you living a life that is convinced, that would convince a jury today that you believe every word that comes from the mouth of God? If you do, let's launch into the deep. Again, Wednesday night, Cody challenged us. Thursday night, a stirring took place. Today as we close, I just want to ask you a few things. Do you have doubts? You have doubts right now in your ability, in your life, and what's going on in your life. Launch into the deep today. Do you have worries? You're worried about job. You're worried about finances. You're worried about your wife, your husband, somebody that's sick. Launch into the deep. We got a large deficit in our budget. This won't be the last time you hear about that, folks. I'm challenging it right now. Challenging, again, I do not preach to you, I preach to me too. Let's launch into the deep. Do you feel unworthy today? Launch into the deep. Over 7,000 promises. Every single one of them has or will come true. It brings us to the point where I'm going to offer an invitation. Some of you, because you have never obeyed Jesus Christ, you might need to walk this aisle, confess that He is the Son of God before God and us, and be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. It's like that eunuch. Here's water. What's stopping me? Some of you publicly may need to say, you know what, I've done some things that have shown that I do not believe God. I believe in God, but I don't believe God. And so publicly I need to come forward and make a confession. But then, there's some of us that have obeyed the gospel. Maybe we haven't done anything publicly, but in our own lives, right now, in our seats, we need to repent. We need to launch into the deep. Whatever your need is right now, the net will be breaking if you surrender all, as together we stand and sing.